My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for riding with us and partying on. We will be here until 3 o'clock, as usual, and then we will not hand it off to Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Hand it off to football.
Seahawks, Niners, Thursday Night Football, right here on The Fan.
Indeed.
And for those of you looking forward to Dan Lanning's usual 4 o'clock spot on Thursdays, he will be on tomorrow at 4 with Isaac and Suk on Primetime.
So we will have more on that game coming up. Later on in the show, because this is actually kind of a big game, really early in the season for both teams.
Jeez.
But we'll have a ton of NFL chatter as we go on and still sprinkle in a little bit more of the Ohio State Oregon. Because did you read the story on Jeremiah Smith, the Ohio State wide receiver that Bruce Feldman wrote?
I did not.
You should dive into that. Athletic, it's a really good look into Jeremiah Smith and who he is. The true freshman wide receiver. Get ready for the Michael Jordan comps moving forward with him. We'll talk about that. I want to give you a chance to read it, dive into it, and then we'll talk about that hopefully a little bit later today. Where we got to start our number two, though. Philadelphia Eagles coming off the bye week. They had one of them early byes there. And they got some clean things that they need to clean up, right? Sitting at 2-2 on the season, coming off another loss. And they've done this win-lose thing. Jalen Hurts has been rocky. Things just seem off with Philly right now. Everything just seemed... I'm not talking about like what you see as far as production. It just seems everything about that organization, like there's a void and a gap. And it's something that we talked about all... preseason with, you lose Fletcher Cox, you lose Jason Kelce.
They're the anti-Bills, where the Bills
there is a vacuum
feel like
of leadership.
The vibes feel good, with the exception of the losses last weekend, but it was much more of a cohesive team. Mm-hmm. And not just in production, but just overall feels and vibes.
Well, it all stems with the friction of Jalen Hurts and head coach Nick Sirianni.
Oh, wait, the two most impactful figures in your organization don't like each other.
Yeah, your head coach and your quarterback. Ah, weird.
Wait, did we just see that in New York?
I think we did. I think we did. Well, Jalen Hurts was asked about the relationship with Nick Sirianni. That, remember, the negative article that came out prior to training camp.
That was like 10 pages long.
About how much distrust and lack of a relationship those two guys have. And how they hired Kellen Moore as a buffer between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Hurts was asked about the relationship with Sirianni today.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that. You know, everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
You really felt like it was a key thing. Like you guys needed to kind of have this summit.
I felt like it was something that just happened.
That's not good.
That didn't sound very
There strong, is absolutely nothing about his voice did not change.
No. And to be fair, he's very militaristic and very this is him, but also it sounded like it was PR speak.
And he's got a really good PR team behind him.
Uh-huh.
That, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm
telling you, man,
that is the worst. Like, it just happened. They had a summit. We have harmony now. It's like what it was not harmonious before.
It's like when we have a peace summit in the White House.
This is not
like,
going to last, dude. Oh, Camp David. This is Camp David affair. We're not going to the White House for this. We're going to Camp David.
Yeah.
It's a bye week, buddy.
Yeah. And so you get away, and then you know peace happens.
Yeah,
every time.
That's right.
Everything stops. And the war and the battles and the fighting and the mutual respect grows. An understanding is formed.
Yeah.
And everything is harmonious from there on out.
Yeah. Well.
And this is why I am, every single day that goes on in the NFC East, I am buying more and more Commander stock. And it has nothing to do with them and everything to do with the three other teams.
Well, I'd put a hold on it over the next couple of weeks because the Eagles do have the Browns and Giants.
Hmm.
But Giants, plucky little team, got the Seattle Seahawks this past week. Kayvon Thibodeau's injury,
mm-hmm.
Malik Nabers concussed. Looks like he's nearing return from a concussion.
Again,
yeah,
out for multiple weeks. The man was unconscious on the field, and nobody gave a damn. I still just
That's why I said he's not returned. He's nearing,
but I mean,
he's progressing.
But nobody. It is one like the season he was having was incredible. He was probably the best wide receiver in the NFL through the first 4 weeks.
Yeah. This is Roger Goodell saying, Danny, shh.
They just pushed it to the side. On the biggest market in the NFL.
That was me playing Roger Goodell.
I was just like,
in the FX American sports story.
I could not believe. Still, it's like it's not being talked about by anybody. It's
no,
like,
you're right. Yeah.
Like that man had his brain scrambled on TV and everyone's like, you know, Micah Parsons' ankle, though.
I'm not going to lie. What's going to be fascinating for me forward, I don't know why Tua was not wearing a Guardian cap to begin with, but is Malik Nabers going to be wearing a Guardian cap moving forward? Does that become part of the NFL's concussion protocol moving forward is you have got to wear a Guardian cap for the remainder of the season, you know?
Oh, God.
And just... These
guys are going to look at it. And
like, seriously, though.
But, I mean, people are going to be dumb about it.
I mean,
and they're going to look at it. It's not swaggy enough.
Human being, Jabril Peppers, he was wearing one for the Patriots.
He should throw a dunce cap on that idiot.
Yeah, he is not a good person.
I mean,
he's
going to jail.
Like, prison.
I should say, if the charges and allegations are true, he's going to jail. Like, his football career is
over. It's ugly. That's bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
Not good.
Yeah.
This is all bad news for the Philadelphia Eagles, though, with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, in that I don't know. There's not a bridge there.
No.
There's not a bridge to cross to where you feel like this is going to be something that gets resolved and they can move forward and work well together because, like, this texture, Vancouver 4 text, that sounded like a hostage video.
Yes.
It sounded like...
I am okay. Me and my other fellow hostages are being taken care of accordingly. We are being fed and we have water and shelter and our captors are not beating us to death.
Yeah. We go on walks.
Like, they let us outside for yard time.
Yeah, I don't, if I'm an Eagles fan, if I'm a Philly sports fan, I'm very uneasy right now.
I mean, all of your teams are losing.
Well, if I'm a Philly sports fan, I'm probably really uneasy 99% of the time.
Yeah. I've seen New York sports fans kind of like doing laps on the Philly sports teams.
Oh, don't do that.
And I just like, man, for all of the successes your New York teams are having, you must have so many trophies to show for it over the past decade.
Dang, bro.
Oh, you don't have any. My bad. You have a team and multiple teams in every sport, and you don't have any hardware.
I heard this one. This was a great one. I heard the, what has Kansas City ever done? And somebody goes, won a World Series more recently than the Yankees.
Yikes, dog.
Truth hurts, don't it?
And they're like, oh. Well...
Think about that. They have like multiple teams in every sport.
Yeah.
And they haven't won any. When was the last time a New York team won a title?
The last time, are we talking, do we include the NHL?
Yeah.
Well, I was led to believe this is going to be the year for the Jets.
Yeah, I think it's probably Aaron Rodgers the Yankees. Was actually play.
Is it the Yankees?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think so. I don't know. Somebody's going to be like, the Liberty one. I'm gonna say, I don't remember that.
So the Rangers is 94, so yep, that takes 94. Them out. Oh, no, Giants.
Oh, yeah.
You should remember that. Or do you block those out?
Holy. Oh, I try not to. I try not to remember that.
Both of them?
Shut up. Yeah. No, they didn't win one more recently than the Yankees, right? Because you have...
Did they?
The Yankees have won one more recently. The 2011, did they both win it that year? I think they both won it that year, right? 2009 for the Yankees, yeah. 2011 for the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, who could forget the... New York Gotham of the NWSL, they won the 2023
Listen, championship. I said the big three. I'll even expand to the big four, include hockey, because, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, so 2011.
New Jersey Devils, 2003. Yeah, they don't win a lot.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Like, even if you give them New Jersey and Brooklyn and, hell, Buffalo. Poor Buffalo.
Yeah, a bunch of losers.
Right?
Yeah, that sucks.
So he's like, why are you doing this to Philadelphia, who has won a World Series title,
Super
Bowl championship, like, and the 76ers have been better than the Knicks for 20 years?
Yeah. They're taking their victory laps, though.
So. It's weird, right?
But I think it's only because the way that Philly fans react. And the way they reacted last night when they got eliminated,
oof,
it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Swing and a drive. Right center field. That one back. Gone! It's gone! Francisco Lindor! A grand slam!
John Shambi on the call for ESPN Radio. Francisco Lindor with the grand slam yesterday, helping sink the Philadelphia Phillies in the NLDS and punching the ticket for the Let's Go Mets Go into the NLCS yesterday. 4-1, the finale. That home run right there, all four of the runs. That's how grand slams work.
Typically.
It was pretty cool to see them celebrate with Lindor at shortstop. Did you notice that at the end of the game? So final out, usually you dogpile the pitcher on the pitcher's mound, right? Yeah. Or it's like somewhere in between like home plate and the pitcher's mound, or maybe even it's like towards the first baseline. Now it's at shortstop.
Because they went to Lindor.
Yeah, Lindor hits the grand salami.
He's their horse, man.
He and Pete Alonso, dude. Mm-hmm. They're getting it done. And that sunk the Phillies, who were very, very, very excited. They were so pumped. They wanted it so bad.
I've mentioned this before. I hate pretty much every Northeastern team in professional sports, but I got a weird soft spot for Philly.
I do, too.
It's weird.
Well, it's because they're fans. Their fans are like this. And this was absolutely incredible. This is from WFMZ News. Action News 89.
So there's a couple low points in my life. My dog passing away and them getting a grand slam. The grand slam took the cake.
Courtney O'Neill was not a fan of that outcome.
I feel like I might either check into AA therapy or an institute of some sort, because this is crap. It's full of crap.
And she wasn't the only one. One woman told us she literally drove all the way up the East Coast just to see the Phillies lose.
I backed away from the hurricane maybe 6 or 7 hours ago. I drove 21 hours up here, and I came here. My first stop, I had no sleep. No sleep. I'm here from the hurricane, and my Phillies are losing. I don't know what else to say.
And two guys we met had to walk home in nothing but overalls with Phillies logos.
We're fed up. We're fed up. We had such great expectations, and now we're just stuck.
I've already hit the fifth stage of grief. It's called acceptance. Acceptance that this team will not win for the next 5 years, probably.
But Courtney hasn't reached that acceptance phase just yet.
And I want everyone gone. I want the bartenders gone. I want Xfinity gone. I want my best friend gone. I want them all gone. This is bullcrap.
This isn't the Boston Red Sox or the Chicago Cubs and going 100 years without winning a world title. The Phillies won a World Series in 2008, and they've been back before.
Yeah, get a grip, people.
Good Lord.
Try being a Blazers fan, for crying out loud.
No, these are Philly fans, and Philly fans are wired differently.
I mean, you can hear that. They didn't do it now, and they'll never do it again. It's like, they were just there!
Two worst days in my life, when my dog died, and then when that home run was hit.
Good God!
And she said when the home run was hit, it passed the dog dying.
Yeah, but you know what? She's living a good life.
Bull crap.
No, you just don't care about the Blazers enough. I think that's what it is. You don't care about the Blazers like she cares about the Phillies, Rust. You live and die with the Philly fanatic?
Hey, I remember being in like a four overtime game against the Suns, riding one of those handrails in the aisle like it was a horse. I was really drunk, but...
It actually
told
wasn't,
me I don't care about the Blazers.
It wasn't actually.
Do you
actually
have
moving.
A Blaze the Trail cat fetish? Because she yeah. might,
or with or
Trailblazers.
Are you, have you ever walked to Maybe. Moda Center in your Blazers overalls?
Yeah, dude.
Those are becoming
I
a thing.
I could
everywhere.
See you wearing Blazers overalls, Danny.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Come on now.
You're telling me you're not above Blazers overalls?
I mean, if they're baggy enough.
Yeah, see?
But have you noticed like the
Danny
the
wearing
team?
His Blazers overalls and Crocs? Yeah, I could see it.
Have you noticed the team-themed overalls at college football?
Yeah, absolutely.
It has taken over everywhere. Yeah. It used to be seemingly be like Wisconsin was the team that I always associated
Indiana,
with that.
Indiana the with
red
the
and
candy
white stripes.
Stripers.
Yeah, red and white stripes. Those two mm-hmm. teams, the two teams that I always associate with it, there was an entire student section in UNC, Minnesota. There was the Arkansas game this weekend. There was an entire student section wearing them. And
well, that tracks.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, both those places, that tracks.
Again, but like they're just popping up everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm just like, is this a new bit? Like,
so, I bet they're cheap.
A&M,
they're new.
A&M has them too.
Also,
again,
that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I think it's a school uniform. You either dress like a cadet,
yeah,
or you wear your Farmer. A&M overalls, yeah. And you kind of have to do it.
What does the A&M stand for?
I don't know this joke.
No, I was being serious.
Oh, agriculture and military. Yeah. Yep, that's what it stands for. Yeah. I thought you had a cute little joke to add on there.
I mean, I do, but can't say it.
Yeah, our boss really hates Texas A&M.
Well, he's a Texas dude.
I should share it with him.
I mean,
sometime.
He has got some... you bring up A&M, and whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
There's some words that come out of his mouth that I don't ever hear him say.
It's like listening to Kramer in the Mel Torme episode where they think he's got, anyway.
Well,
I thought you were going to say when like, Kramer stand really, up, and I was like, whoa!
I really let
it wasn't that bad.
Fly.
Wow. Wow. But Philly fans they're in a tough spot.
They were in a World Series 2 years ago.
I know, but Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni hate each other. Uh-huh.
Phillies lost.
Phillies lose to the Mets, too. Like, that's a tough one, especially after everything that went down this entire year. Do you see the L that Ken Rosenthal was taking yesterday?
Oh, I mean, to be fair, I kind of respect the Padres players for doing it.
No, another L.
Oh.
Yes, so Ken Rosenthal taking an L because he wrote a scathing article. He's covering the Dodgers-Padres series.
And he basically called the Padres players little whiny brats. Meanwhile, the Dodgers escaped every bit of that. And
yeah.
It's like, whoa, 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 whoa,
yeah.
whoa,
whoa. And he posted whoa. This article like hours before the game, so the Padres players were like, we're not doing in-game interviews with him then. No, take a hike, Pally. And it didn't work out for the Padres. They got boat raced.
Yeah.
But the other one... is that Ken Rosenthal had a report earlier in the year about the Atlanta Braves, and it was like a, The manager of the Braves had said he didn't like the 5-day layoff between the wild card and the DS when it starts. He'd rather just play right
through. Just keep going,
And Phillies fans were, you know,
mocking,
just going, oh, okay, yeah, you're going to blame your losses on the 5-day layoff. Well, that happened like very beginning of this regular season this past spring. And so that clip starts resurfacing on the heels of the Padres boycotting him, where he's making it sound like the Braves are kind of complaining about having that 5-day gap, and Philly fans were just piling on over the top on that, just being like, oh, Braves are soft. They can't, you win the division, and you're going to say that's your excuse and your complaint. Well, the Phillies had the 5-day layoff, and they lost in the NLDS.
Oops. Also, apropos of nothing, we've been pointed out on the old Vancouver Ford text line, A&M is not agricultural and military. It's agricultural and mechanical.
Oh, look at that. Well, we also have mining coming in. It's a lot of things.
Well, I just pulled it up on the Googles, too.
It's mechanical?
Check. Yes.
Okay. God, I've always been told it was agricultural and military. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, me too. That's what I always say. Well, they have their cadets and their little yell leaders dress up like they're in the military.
Mm.
Are they that actually makes, like that, in the ROTC program or anything, or do they or what do they do?
Or are they just cosplaying?
I think this makes them
I think that's stolen
more,
valor.
I would say I think this makes them more culty.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. All right. Well, tough segment for Phillies and Texas A&M fans. Oh, let's wrap that up there.
As I say, our boss probably appreciates the fact that we're finding a way to make fun of Texas A&M.
And we will.
Yeah, so there you go.
We will.
I'll expect to see that bump in my paycheck on Friday.
I saw that Diego Pavia was surprised on an interview that he was doing with Johnny Manziel. He's a big Johnny Manziel fan.
He does kind
the
of
Vanderbilt
look like...
The Vanderbilt quarterback who went nuts.
He does kind of look like Johnny.
Yeah.
Like...
No, he's much more of a thick boy.
But I mean, like,
yeah,
he looks like him in the
face. He got a little bit of that vibe. Yeah, for sure.
It's an interesting one.
He looks older than him, though, too, even.
Oh, yeah.
Like, older than Manziel.
Well, I mean, Johnny did the drugs that keep you young.
Wait. What? Huh?
You know, the good kind.
Okay. Tiger blood?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
Cool.
Straight to the dome. Look, Michigan has, and their administrators and their coaches and their assistant coaches, they've done some pretty stupid stuff recently. But right now, one of their player personnel high school directors is under fire. And I don't think he should be. We're going to get to that for our worst day on the web. But first, here's a Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
I got no dog in this fight. I don't dislike either the University of Washington or the University of Michigan. Both perfectly fine.
Actually, I don't care for either one of them.
That's fine. Totally fair.
My neighbor, Boring Gary, he went to both of them.
Yeah. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. He went...
Graduated from both?
Yeah. He went to University of Washington for undergrad and got his master's at Michigan.
You'd think it would go the other way around.
Yeah. No. No. He's an engineering bro.
Okay.
And my wife sent my son over to their house to get some flour because they were baking.
Mm.
And he said, I'm not giving you the flour until you say, go dogs. And my son refused at first.
Attaboy!
And Gary wasn't going to give him the flour, so he finally said under his breath, go dogs. And then he got the flour, and he goes, didn't mean it! And ran back over to our house.
You are raising a petty king.
Love it.
Yeah.
My fingers are crossed.
Yeah. Gave him the didn't mean it as he ran off.
But a little incident took place up at Old Husky Stadium this past weekend as Washington beat Michigan 27-17. There was a Husky fan that was right up against the rail leaning into the Michigan sideline. And look, I am all about chirping.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. go right up to the line. Even habitually step over it mildly.
And I will say this, last year at UW, that Oregon-Washington mm-hmm. game, there was a lot of chirping,
yeah.
but it was none of it was like ever crossed the line. And oftentimes you'll get people that will engage yeah. with like the visiting fans.
Have
and it's
fun.
A good back and yes. forth. And you can have that barb, those barbs. But if it is also lighthearted, at the end of it, it's usually like a tip of the cap
yeah.
either way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, that's okay. But what's unfortunate is we don't have the video of what transpired beforehand. But we do have is video of Michigan's director of high school relations, Chris Bryant, is on the sideline. And is there's about 7 or 8 Michigan players that are looking back towards the stands in a way that you look at somebody when you're about to beat the living crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone, like my literacy, my media literacy hat kind of went on real quick of, okay, we're walking ourselves into a situation here where this is not a lighthearted back and forth. This is a line has been crossed.
Also, Chris Bryant is not a man that you would want to mess with.
No.
He is a very large man, and uh-huh. he used to play football, I think, 6'4", 315.
Large man. Yeah. carries it very well. But you can tell that the fan is drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And
no way.
Chris Bryant marches right up to the rail, like right up, as close as you can get to this fan without jumping into the
stands. He could have reached out and
grabbed him by the neck.
Yes.
Yes. And to be fair, just kind of judging by the atmosphere, I feel like he probably had license to do so. But in the video, it's a 15-second video. We play the audio, but it's so garbled because of all the other outside sound, you can't hear it. But he very succinctly says, shut the F up before you get F'd up.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, if you've ever seen somebody who's within an inch of beating the crap out of somebody, it's that look on his face. He is doing everything in his power to not reach up there and Ron Artest him in that moment.
And this was the guy that he was yelling at was very loud, and he was hamskied.
Yeah.
But it's almost like right after that happened, he started pointing like it was somebody else next to him, and
everyone sold him out.
It was like
he pulled the Shaggy.
Yeah,
wasn't me.
That's weird. I went with Shaggy from Scooby Doo for a second. I was like,
zoinks!
Yeah,
like they're playing our song, Scoob.
That'd have been a funny transition out of that.
It wasn't me. But this guy, he tried to play it off like, I didn't do it.
And everybody around him sold him out. And you can yeah. see there's a woman in the video who's just sitting there going, shut up. And
yeah.
she's not talking to Chris Bryant. There's a bunch of people in the stands that are telling this guy to stop being an a-hole.
Now, Michigan did take his bio off of the school's website.
So scrubbed any mention of him, mm-hmm. which I don't think they should. I don't think he did anything wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No, here's the official stance from Michigan. We became aware of an interaction between Washington fans who were harassing our players by using over-the-top and offensive language. It was an unfortunate situation and should not have happened. Our staff members should have asked the stadium staff to handle the matter rather than act in an emotional manner with which he did at the time. This is disappointing, and we will handle the matter internally as a program.
I feel like the situation's been handled.
I think it has, too.
The situation's been, you shouldn't go do that. Yeah. Shut up. You know what? I'm so sick and tired of this stuff. Because you know what? Every now and then, people need to be told to shut the bleep up. And every now and then, it needs to go a step further, and then you get the living hell slapped out of them.
Yeah.
My wife and I were watching the WWF documentary the other night. And do you remember when John Stossel tried to make, we were all very, very young, but it kind of became lore. John Stossel was doing a report, and he kind of went Jim Rome on one of the wrestlers. Like,
he went
instigate, instigate, instigate. And he kept calling wrestling fake. And the wrestler slapped the living hell out of him. Not once, but twice. And I mean,
I saw that. That's part of the Vince McMahon yes. documentary. Yeah, yeah. WWF almost went under because mm-hmm. of that lawsuit. Yeah.
But it was a unifying force for mm-hmm. all of the wrestlers. Like, it was because, look, yes, it's fake and scripted, but also, like, the idea that these guys weren't getting the hell beat out of them was insane.
Yeah, did you see Bill Burr was there?
Yes, Bill Burr mentions this guy being an a-hole.
Yeah, well, see, like Bill Burr of all people, he was at, first of all, Bill Burr was at Washington, Michigan.
He was in Tacoma for a show.
For a show?
Yeah.
Well, Bill Burr is the guy who's going to be like, that guy was an idiot. Doesn't Bill Burr have a bit about athletes? Well, when we had Bill Burr on, mm-hmm. didn't he talk about athletes and they should have one free pass to just kick somebody's ass?
Yes.
Well, see, the thing is about wrestling and calling it fake and scripted, and then also those wrestlers' bodies taking an extreme pounding throughout their careers, they're not mutually exclusive.
No.
Just because you call wrestling fake and scripted does not mean that they're not athletes and they don't go through a whole hell of a lot.
But again...
Well, Rust coming out of nowhere to keep defending wrestling, that was quite the... I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Look, I mean, we all know it's stories, you know? Yeah. It's storytelling, but they're still out there doing real-life stuff to their bodies.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Look, man, I agree with Bill Burr in a general sense. And I have said this more than a few times, I think, over my life. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the radio. Like, I know this sounds just completely out of pocket and so ridiculous. I genuinely believe, I don't like most government programs because they're stupid and awful and wasteful. But one that I truly believe in is a marketplace where you can buy, sell, exchange, trade a single card that allows you to rectify a situation physically. Not kill somebody, not walk up behind somebody and sucker punch somebody.
Danny wants a real life get out of jail free card?
It being to an extent, yes.
I don't think that is an extent. I think that is exactly what you are asking
but
for.
But I'm not saying this as a way for me to let or anyone to go around and just starting fights. I think people would just be significantly less likely to be a-holes if they knew that somebody could be like, you know what? Whack! And just knock the living hell out of you.
Do you know what would solve all of this and people just shutting up their yappers? Hmm. Make everybody at some point in their life go and work retail or a restaurant job.
Ooh, yep.
Because you find out real fast exactly what you cannot do to somebody running their mouth. And we're just, you know, because take it from a 13-year bartender and stuff, you're just supposed to sit there and take it. And anyway,
way to kiss my ass.
Exactly. Yeah. Most people, if they went through that, they might check themselves a little bit first.
Very true. I'm a bigger proponent of being able to punch somebody in the face, but
by purchasing a card.
I'm just saying, you should have a global exchange or, you know, a nationwide exchange where everybody gets one.
Okay, how much are you asking for this? Like, what's the price point?
I mean, it's a marketplace. Whatever, you know, it's the market dictates. Everybody gets one to start the year. Everybody gets one. You know,
you get one a year?
Yeah, one a year. And here's the thing. If you are somebody who is like, you know what?
What if the other people don't want to comply in this? Does the other person have to have a card?
Is Danny just describing the purge?
Once a year.
No. Yes, once a year. Not any particular date.
We do whatever we want.
But think about this. I'd walk around with that card on my neck, Danny, and I'd let everybody see it.
Danny wants 1700s where you can go out and challenge somebody to a duel.
Yes. Because here's the thing.
What if they say no?
It's like the old Looney Tunes cartoons when you walk up and you smack somebody across the face with a white glove.
Yeah. And again, you can't just go up to somebody and start it, but if somebody's a complete a-hole and you're just like, no, I'm not dealing with this. Because the reality is, if people know that there's repercussions for their actions that involve physical violence, they're significantly less likely to participate in said dumbassery.
I still got my card, bro. Don't make me use
it on
you.
Seriously, just like hang it around your neck like a freaking dinosaur bone.
Now, can you loan your card to a tribute?
I mean, look, again, the marketplace. Look, if you're somebody who does not want to participate in said marketplace, like you're just you got frail hands. You don't want to do it. Sell it up for the highest bidder. If you're one of those people who wants to stockpile those cards and be a righteous writer of wrongs, go for it.
I believe you were describing a vigilante.
Eh? Saying. You see a guy who maybe looks like he's looking for it, you know? Maybe don't be that guy.
Don't we already have that and they're called like bounty hunters?
Yeah, but they can't, I mean, you know, just saying.
You want it more widespread criminal activity.
Yes. To general dumbassery.
Boy, this is, I mean, there are portions of this that I do want to subscribe to.
Right? Just every now and then, just be able to roadhouse somebody.
I think they are non-transferable. Well, I think they should be non-transferable because then you just have idiots walking around and accumulating their cards.
Well, you put a limit on it on what you can get.
Again, I go back to we don't need to get out of jail. We don't need the purge or the get out of jail free card. Make somebody go work on the floor at Macy's for 2 hours.
Now we're on to something. Now we're on to something.
Make somebody go wait tables for 2 hours.
I'm telling you, that's not enough to break some people. So some people really...
Oh, no. All the ones that need to be broken, that will break them. I'm telling you. That will break them.
Sometimes you just need a little physical reconditioning.
I don't think you're going to get that law passed.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be a thing.
Some people go to marriage counseling. Some people need wall-to-wall counseling.
Yeah, there is value in a learning experience from getting punched in the face. There is.
I
believe it.
Absolutely dead serious.
Yeah.
I truly believe physical altercations, physical violence is an absolute corrector of bad actions.
But
there are other ways, but also
A majority of the population disagrees with that assessment.
I think people are dumb because guess what solved everything throughout history?
Has it?
We keep doing it all.
I'm just saying.
Has it? I mean, you say it war keeps solving it.
Well, war isn't the answer or violence isn't the answer. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's literally been the answer to every single thing in history.
Well, I think the last few thousand years in the Middle East would disagree.
Basically, all we're doing right here is saying, oh, Doyle rules.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's an element, but I don't think I'm going that far. I think I'm with you, though, on the element of it, because I think anybody that has been cracked across the jaw once before is like, whoa, okay, here we go. This text,
you know,
should I refer Danny to a therapist?
No,
they can't fix him.
Again, I just said, some people need counseling. Some people need wall-to-wall counseling. There's mental and physical aspects to this.
I have a lot of hate in my heart.
That guy's not wrong.
That was you.
I know.
That was you.
I know. He'll bend you over his knee and give you a good spanking.
Okay.
Sounds like that guy's guy. He's on the right path.
That guy's smart. I'd listen to his show.
His timing's all jacked up. It is what it is. I don't even know how to pivot out of this accurately.
I don't think there's any pivot. It's a hard turn.
Yeah, no. Speaking of hard turns, and you can go with some wins. Did you see what the winds did down in Florida to the old Trop?
Boy.
Holy shnikes. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah. It's a scary scene going on down there in Florida. But the roof is gone.
Yeah. We'll dive into that here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Dose of good news, bad news, as Hurricane Milton was looking, or did get up to be, one of the biggest sustained storms we've ever seen.
The footage out of there was bananas, man.
Did you see the plane in the eye of the storm?
No.
There was footage.
Oh, like the NOAA planes
pilots fly.
It was
like
bananas.
Prop planes.
Those guys have got stones, dude.
Because you can't fly jets because the pressure changes can like snuff out the jets. So they fly these like 8 prop C-130s into these
What do you get paid for that?
Buddy.
No matter what it is, it's not enough.
They're in the middle of the eye of the storm and it's quiet.
Yeah.
It's perfectly clear and you see this wall that is entirely surrounds them. And you're just sitting there going, oh my God.
Well, and all the equipment falling off all the shelves inside the plane. Yeah. It's bananas.
It's nuts. But thankfully, and this isn't to say that, you know, people haven't lost their lives, their property. It did not hit Florida with the severity and force that it originally should.
Yeah, there was a lot of fear of, and look, and rightfully so, the meteorologists and, you know, hurricane experts that are out there, they are doing their duty by saying,
get the
if
hell
we
out.
Know what it is right now, you don't want this thing to hit land where it's at right now. So the urgency that they have is so people do get out of the path of the storm, because 120 mile an hour winds, you don't want people to stay,
no,
regardless, because you don't know what everybody's structures that they're in are like, and who's ready for it.
Being outside, like what happens in those winds is the wind grabs stuff and like it turns into a weapon.
Yeah,
it just throws it. It's indiscriminate.
That Lieutenant Dan guy, he like survived or whatever, and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is an idiot.
Yes, and, yeah, and it's
well, his poor dog.
He could have like there were several people being like, "Hey, get out of there. We will help you get out of there." He's like, "Ah, GoFundMe." You know, like that. It was just like you're just going to choose to do this because people are willing to help you get out of there, man.
There was another woman who disobeyed the evacuation order. I want to say in St. Pete, where she lived on the 11th floor of like a high rise apartment, and it was like the literal worst place to be. It's like, well, we're out of the way of the flood. I'm like, it's 120 mile an hour winds. No. What do you think happens to the tops of buildings? Like, and if the bottom gets flooded and the wind is blowing, what do you think happens to the building?
Like palm trees, they have evolved to sustain and withstand heavy winds like that. There were palm trees just going, nope, bam.
Yeah, over. Coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Are you stupid or something?
Yeah. That was terrifying.
Florida man, Florida. I found something out. I just did not know. The top of Tropicana Field was made of fiberglass.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's what domes of that era were. You think of like the Metrodome in Minneapolis.
That was the one that collapsed with the snow.
Yeah, that one was like pressurized. Mm-hmm. The Silver Dome up in Detroit.
Yeah.
Also pressurized dome that have, it's not like a solid, hard cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively thin. And,
but you would think in those regions that would have the solid because of the weather in those particular locations.
Yeah, I think I remember reading something that it was supposed to be because it was always heated on the inside. It would never accumulate that much snow because it would never get that cold.
Except for in Minnesota when it fell like 8 feet.
Did not.
Yeah.
It did not. But yeah, it was crazy to see Tropicana Field convertible now.
Yes.
They got an outdoor stadium.
They do. And the unfortunate situation was the National Guard and all of the first responders had set up inside the Trop as a triage station. So they had like thousands of beds for evacuees that couldn't make it out. Because that's the thing, is like you can get evacuation order. There's people that can't afford to evacuate. There's people that can't.
And that's another reason why you give the big alerts, because you want people that can to get out with enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was so many heartbreaking kind of like scenes that are going on down there.
Yeah.
But that one, to have like an evacuation center not even be a safe place for them to go, that is heartbreaking.
I feel like that somebody didn't do their job there.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
Like, hey, we're going to have high winds. This place, like, somebody said, hey, this looks very similar to what happened to the Metrodome during Katrina.
Well, I was talking like with Dirt and Sprague earlier, too, and about leading up to this storm and how it was going to hit Tampa, about how Tampa somehow just manages to usually avoid.
Well, because it's in the Gulf. At that point in the Gulf, like, it doesn't usually take that. I was watching.
That path.
I was weather channeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, but apparently it doesn't take that hard turn, right?
Because you got your Atlantic ones, and you got the ones that go up through the Gulf.
To hit that west coast of Florida like it did, it's got to like have the perfect arc to come around and gain that momentum.
And just think of how bad it would have been if it stayed a Category 5.
I know.
I think it went down to a 3.
It went through, which again, that's still not great. Yeah. But on Vancouver text line, don't forget about coconuts being pulled off the tree and thrown around like cannonballs.
That's right.
Yeah, like again, like the most terrifying driving experience I've ever had, I was driving through the gorge with 100 mile an hour winds picked up, and I was driving, I swear to God, my wheels turned at 45 degrees because the wind was pushing my car, and everything in my body was just telling me, get the hell out of here, 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 because the last thing I wanted to do was try to pull over.
Don't stop.
And have some semi-truck turn into a kite and like push me into the river.
Brutal. This is the Tropicana thing, though, like as sports related.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fixing that before next baseball season.
I mean, there's no possible way you can you?
No.
The flip side of this is it's Florida, so
they're building a new stadium. The stadium won't be done until 2028. Mm-hmm. they're like going to start like the prepping the land this winter for the new stadium in St. Petersburg. Now it's like, do the Rays replace the A's in Oakland for a season? There's a stadium not being used in Oakland. Like, do they go up? Remember, there was that idea.
Montreal.
I guess there, the worst problem is the sewage backup and the possums in the ceiling.
Well, and the big earthquake coming. Yeah. That would be the Rays' luck. Like, they go, like, we'll play in Oakland for a year. And then it's, and you know what? That would be, what would be the greatest
1989
thing?
1989 all
over again. They go to Oakland, and because it's not John J. Fisher, because it's a different franchise that has their incompetence, but if the fans of Oakland sold that place out for every damn home game, that would be electric. And I would love every single piece of it, because that would just tell Major League Baseball it wasn't baseball in Oakland.
Yeah.
It was the ownership of the Oakland A's that did it. If I'm Rob Manfred, I'm saying
let's go
try to put him in Oakland. I wouldn't start the petition. I wouldn't do the Montreal thing because and look, they're gonna try to get that place ready to rock and roll and hopefully get new fiberglass roof on that bad boy.
It's a lot.
Good luck. And who knows the structural damage that happened when all that stuff was ripped off. But I wouldn't move him up to Montreal because remember, there was that idea that, remember, their ownership said, what if we played half our season in Montreal and half our season in Tampa? Build us a new stadium, please.
Very dumb.
No,
but it worked for them.
No, put them in the Bay Area. Move them to Oakland for a year.
Put them in the A?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
A's,
Rays. It'd be really easy for fans to
just sell it.
And just put an R in front of all your A's gear and you got Rays gear.
Or at least Ross.
I don't care about the A-Y-S. Hmm. I don't care about that because it goes A's to Rays. Just put an R in front of it and be like, we're Rays fans now.
Did you see recently
one
of the new hats that they put out for the A's where it had kind of the staggered logos? And
it
looks like, yeah, the way they had them staggered, it looks like it says ass.
Yeah. My favorite is when, I actually don't like it because of where they sit in the standings, but if you take all the hats of the American League West, you can spell ass hat. if it goes A's or Angels, A's, Mariners, and then you have no, it's A's, Mariners, Astros, Angels, Rangers. Their hats are, they spell ass hat.
It's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Good. It's my favorite standings in all of baseball.
I like it. They should do that. I would love to see a store, like a Lids, just do that and see if anybody catches it.
Yeah, it's called When I Go to Lids.
Just move them around.
Yeah.
I like it. Coming up next, it's 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, which means it's time for us to make our picks. We'll do that coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com